that I have before me are from your Bible, and I'm sure they should bring joy to our hearts. It was joy to my heart to hear you sing. Seeing though all friends sang at the top of their voices, number 93. It is a blessed hymn, isn't it? Now, brethren, it has reason why there should be any change. You know, when I have heard a few times crossing the country that some would like to rewrite the volumes, my brethren, why? Why should the volumes be rewritten? They're filled with comfort and consolation. Where did we get the truth from those volumes? And oh, what comfort they are. Because, friends, they brought the truth to us. They made us strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And because of this, we're standing today. Standing like a Gibraltar. Let us continue unto the very end. One mind, he says. Not a number of minds, but one mind. One mouth. Giving glory to God, preaching the gospel message. This is the thought that he has in mind in all lowliness of mind. Humility. My dearly beloved, when we look about us and see the conditions of the earth with all its pride, oh, how terrible it is. And then to know, positively know, that your Bible teaches that all its pride must be destroyed. Think of the pride of the earth, pride among the nations, proud of their attainments, their war implements. All must go. Think of it. What will that mean? Satan's empire, the underlying principle of it, is pride, has been since the fall of Eden. Pride is the underlying principle of the devil's empire. And it must go. God hates pride. Humility will be the underlying principle of the divine government. Here upon the earth. Humility, friends, must be our foundation. Lowliness in mind. Oh, that word, humility, found in our text this morning. How beautiful it is. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of Luke, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, take not the highest room, but take the lowest room. He comes the day he may say, friend, go up higher. Go up higher. Then thou shalt have honor with all those that sit at meat with thee. Take the lowest room, and oh, how few will do that. Generally, they like to make a beeline for the platform. Ah, friends, let us wait. Wait upon the Lord. He will exalt you in due time. Take the lowest room and wait. Wait upon the Lord. The exaltation will come. And this little exaltation that you may receive on this side of the veil amounts to nothing, friend. The exaltation that we're looking forward to sit upon the throne with the Lord. Oh, my dearly beloved, the whole world will know it. They'll learn about it. They'll know the ones that are born in Zion. The ancient worthies will know it. Don't you believe that it'll be given out to those of the human family? They'll know who has been exalted with that divine nature. That kingdom of kings is going to rule over them. Of course they know them. They'll learn about them. But they'll not be able to see them. And why? Was all this because they were humble. Humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. That in due time he may exalt you. pray, dear friends, that these words, these thoughts, bring comfort to your heart. And if it brings comfort to your heart, then pass it on. Oh, is that the thought? Yes, we shall see. That's the scriptural thought, too. Then we read, with one accord, with one mouth, glorify God. How many mouths? How many messages offering? Let us stop that. One has a message and the other has a message. Paul says, with one mouth, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. One mouth and one accord. Therefore, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ grant you comfort and consolation. Wherefore, receive ye one another, even, listen to this, as Christ also received you to the glory of God. He received you to the glory of God. And let us comfort one another. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort, a comfort that will endure forever. Think of what comfort it's going to require for the human race. Can it be done in 1,000 years? Sometimes we wonder whether it can all be done in 1,000 years, but it's planned that way. God knows the end from the beginning. Oh, if there ever was a time when the human family needed comfort and consolation, but it's quite the time yet. Things are shaping to that end, and I'm sure you appreciate that. Give us eternal comfort and good hope. Always hope connected with it. You notice that. And good hope through grace. Grace upon grace and favor upon favor. Abounding grace. God's abounding grace is over us. Comfort your hearts, brethren, and establish you in every good work and word. Both go together. Don't leave out the word. You can't do that. Comfort you in every word, yes, and work, it says. Comfort your hearts and establish your heart. Now, here's one that I think that you'll wonder about. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you remember what words? I'm going to read them. These words comfort one another. Let us read it. But I would not have you, talking to the brethren, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive now today and remain unto the presence, parousia, of the Lord, we're right in it, shall not prevent them which are asleep. No, no. Those that are asleep are with the Lord now. sounded, and it's going to sound for a thousand years. For a thousand years, that trumpet, Jubilee trumpet, the last trumpet, it's the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're with the Lord now, caught up in the air with the Lord. Do these words comfort your heart? Listen. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. How could anyone be caught up there in the clouds with the Lord if the Lord was not in the air? Did you ever think of that? Those that deny the primacy of the Lord do not believe that he's in the air. Therefore, they can't be caught up in the air with the Lord. Can they? I remember a dear brother, Proctor Shinrose. You all knew him, Pilgrim Brother Proctor. It was my privilege to serve as funeral, Hartford, Connecticut, in that territory, down in Massachusetts. And, oh, it was a large, large funeral. Well, the undertaker was perplexed after the talk. He was round, undertaking fathers in and out, and I finally said to him, I said, sir, is there something wrong? We couldn't get started and get the casket out. He said, I only have five pallbearers. One pallbearer didn't show up. Well, I said, use me. You mean to say that you dare? I said, yes, I'd be glad to. He said, I've never heard that before. So I did. And you know, a brother came up to me, and he said, brother, I loved all this, the things that you talked about. Grand. But he said, you remember my mother? Yes, I said, I do, slightly remember your mother. I remembered him because he told me the last time I saw him, at a meeting, a few months prior to that, that he did not believe in the presence of Christ. He told me that, denied it. Well, I hadn't any time much to discuss it with him. And so I thought I'd ask him a question. I said, brother, I think your mother was a loyal, faithful child of God, wasn't she? Oh, yes, he said, she was a loyal, faithful. And he said, she was in the truth, too, you know. Yes, I said that. But now let me ask you a question, brother. Do you think that your mother made her calling and election sure? Oh, yes. Well, I said, I believe she did. Well, then I said, brother, you believe she's caught up in the air with the Lord. And I looked him right in the eyes. And he didn't know what to say. The tears came in his eyes. I said, be careful, brother. You deny it. Your mother couldn't be there unless the Lord was in the air. Could she? Brother, I never saw that before. Now, isn't that it? Isn't that right? How could you ever expect to be to the Lord in the air if you were not in the air? the fruit of their own ways. Be filled with their own devices, those things that they're now preparing to destroy the other world and destroy themselves. I believe. They'll destroy themselves with their own implements. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Never was such prosperity in all history. I had a little work done on the gas stove, and they just charged me $12 for 3/4 of an hour. Prosperity of fools destroy themselves. That's just a little part of it. Too much to go into politics. But listen, for our benefit, the last verse. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, we hearken unto the Lord. Take this comfort, friends. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Is that comfort? We'll dwell safely. We have nothing to fear. I know. All the resources of eternity, everything on the outside of the veil in holiness and righteousness, is on our side, friend. We haven't anything to fear. We shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from all fear. I didn't put that in there. Is that consolation? Comfort? Quiet from all fear. Take comfort, brethren. As we together leave this place, may our hearts be filled with comfort. Joy. Peace. Happiness. Yes. Listen to these words. 2 Corinthians, beginning with the first verse and including the 7th verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Our Father, our God, is the God of who comforteth us in all our afflictions, even the little ones. All our afflictions. He's always standing ready to comfort his children. What a father. What a father. Oh, isn't it wonderful? people can't find one.
But the Lord's people are comforted by him.
They found them. They hold them. They love them.
Yes, sufferings which we also suffer.
And our hope for you, brethren, is steadfast, knowing as we are partakers of the sufferings, so also are we, are ye, and have part in the comfort. Comfort and consolation. Beautiful, isn't it? Oh, how often we sing that hymn. Zion stands on hills surrounded. Zion kept by power divine. All her foes shall be confounded. Though the world in arms combine, happy Zion, happy Zion. Oh, yes, Zion stands on hills surrounding. Zion, upon Mount Zion, 144,000. Beautiful, isn't it? Zechariah 1:17. Cry ye again, saying, thus saith God, Jehovah of hosts, my city shall yet overflow with prosperity, and Jehovah God shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem as well as the earthly days of Jerusalem. Both houses of Israel. How plain it is mentioned in our Bible. Now this old familiar text that Jesus spoke about and Isaiah spoke of. Isaiah 61:1-3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings of good to the meek. Jesus mentioned that. Who shall we preach to? Who shall we comfort? The meek. Jesus said that. Who are the meek? Well, those that are meek enough to inquire. Just think of the names that we have. And thousands of them are called upon. Think of that Cleveland character who reaches way down in Warren, Ohio, Niles, Ohio, Kent, Ohio, Canton, Ohio, all around Cleveland, over almost to Toledo. Thousands of names. They come in as a result of the Frank and Ernest program. A few of them are called on, but our brethren, they're old. Can't call upon them. And who are they? They're the meek. How do you know they're meek? Because they're meek enough to sit down and write in for a piece of literature, and another piece, and another one. And some of them even get the dong, and some have written in for the first volume. They're meek. The Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach to the meek. You don't need to go from door to door. Why, no, there's so many, friends. We can't handle them. I got to bring a brother, dear brother, Caprantos, was telling me about Italy. He told me he served 35 Italian classes himself. And there were more than that over there, little groups. They have the Frank and Ernest program in the Italian language in Italy. What a wonderful work. And during Brother Russell's time, it couldn't get in Italy. But now look at it. Are they all consecrated? No, I don't believe that. I asked Brother Caporanto. I said, now you say you have 12, 15 in a little group. Are they all consecrated? Oh, no. He said, we're glad we have one or two to teach the others. Well, how about the others? How about those people? They're seeking meekness and seeking righteousness. The Lord said in prophecy, he would fight them in the day of his anger. That's the work that's going on. Ah, does it bring comfort to your heart? We can't go then to it. We can't talk the language. I have a son living in Mexico. Mexico was here to visit me a week or so ago. I perhaps could go over there to Mexico City and find the group there. We have got subscribers over there, but I can't talk the language. So you see, it takes someone that can speak the language. But the work is here, friend. Don't say there's nothing to do. But sit around and find fault with the volume and preach false doctrines. That's what some are doing. Oh, my dearly beloved, the Lord is watching.
You'll find hope in the scriptures, friend. God has promised through Jesus Christ our Lord. How thankful we are